today's news.
Hello, and welcome to Old News, the programme which looks at news stories of today through the papers of yesterday. Wallabies have been back in the news stream, certainly here on Manx Radio recently, with the members of the Manx Wildlife Trust up recently to talk on the man in line. And wallabies, as usual, came up. How many they are, what should be done about them, should they be controlled, should we have better policy, etc. Set me pondering how much it's featured over the years. Not going to go back that far, of course, as they weren't introduced here until the 50s or 60s. But they were here, it seems, before they came into the wildlife park. If we look at the Alamann Examiner of Friday, July the 16th, 1954, a lovely picture of wallabies in the Isle of Man with a lady who looks remarkably like my mother. But I have to say, it wasn't my mother. It was Miss Cunliffe Owen. And a house over on the other side of the Isle of Man, over in Portlaoise in Mackledway, living in the 2-acre wallaby farm at Tranquility, Portlaoise, Mr. and Mrs. Wallaby and their baby of 6 months old. These beautiful animals were told in the caption of the kangaroo family, but smaller. The baby wallaby, sex as yet unknown, is the first wallaby born in the Isle of Man, and until recently it hopped in and out of mother's pouch. Miss Cunliffe Owen got the parents from Tasmania. She is seen above with her two monkeys, Coco and Candy. They are Humboldt's South American woolly monkeys and are both very intelligent and affectionate. And as I understand it, this was a private home and sort of garden and park. I don't think it was open to the public. And from what I can see, Miss Cunliffe Owen eventually left the Isle of Man much as she loved it. 1957, Friday, July the 12th, new arrivals at the zoo, but not again, the wildlife park, Glen Helen Zoo, is full of surprises. One never knows what one will find there next. A lot of people might not remember there was a zoo at Glen Helen. This year there is a completely new collection of animals and birds, and not a week passes without some new addition. Recent arrivals include a young wallaby, a baby baboon, squirrel monkeys, and Indian palm squirrels. They sound fascinating, don't they? I hope the leaguers, and they were the young people, I dare say, who read the newspaper, who are members of the zoo club, will go along to see them. Read about the naming competition on this page. More about that in a moment. There was indeed a naming competition. This zoo, I think, just literally ran for the summer season, then closed again and got rid of all the animals, hopefully to good homes. Although it's not detailed very exactly. However, here we are in a picture of the Examiner, Friday, September the 13th, 1957. Mr. Donald Lowy with a group of leaguers at Glen Helen Zoo. A leaguers outing in lovely Glen Helen. Two coaches full of leaguers had a wonderful time on Saturday last at Glen Helen Zoo, where they were the guests of the directors of the zoo on their annual outing. After a lovely ride through the leafy countryside, the girls and boys were greeted by Mr. Donald Lowy and Mr. Horace Andrews at the entrance to the zoo. Immediately, everyone was put in the mood by the jokes and funny antics of Mr. Lowy. We made our way along to the animal house, where Mr. Lowy entertained us to a conducted tour of the cages, and even got inside one to feed them a caw with grapes, which he held in his mouth. I don't know whether these antics would be smiled upon these days or not. The tame baboon was let out of his cage and scampered around the room in a most amusing fashion. Probably bored and trying to escape, I imagine. After a walk around the grounds and a stop at the round pond to watch the fish, we made our way into the large ballroom where Uncle Horace Andrews was waiting to organise the games. For over an hour, every leaguer had a grand time running races and enjoying competitions, and Mr. Lowy gave away packets of sweets and countless prizes to us all. Now, pay attention, we're back to the naming competition. It was announced that Tim O'Hanlon of Portishee Avenue in Douglas had won the Senegal Parrot for his choice of Rufty Tufty as a name for the wallaby. Tim is to receive the parrot next week, when Mr. Lowy has had a cage made for him. We hope to have a picture on this page shortly. Just before we left aboard the coaches, three cheers were called for to show our appreciation of Mr. Lowy's and Mr. Andrews' wonderful hospitality. The roof was nearly lifted off. It was a grand sound, and I think that every leaguer present thoroughly enjoyed themselves. It would be interesting, if anyone knows, was that the Tim O'Hanlon of Timekeeper fame for Manx Radio for many a year? It might well have been. He might have been the right sort of age. Winning a parrot. Again, I don't honestly think that would be seen to be acceptable, giving away live animals, particularly animals which require specialist attention, as prizes to children. But this was 1957. However, as I say, Rufty Tufty didn't stay there very long. We read on Friday, October the 4th, 1957, in a letter from Uncle Horace, once he'd finished his entertaining out at Glen Helen earlier in the year, "Dear Leaguers, I'm sending Uncle Tim my fairy poem, and I do hope you'll all like it. Just fancy, it is now October. Very soon it will be Christmas again." He's not wrong there. "I thought you might like to know what is happening at the zoo. Well, as you know, all the animals are for sale, and some have already been sold." Ah, the children will love that. "The Indian palm squirrels have gone, so has Minnie Mongoose. Pedro the tree bear has gone, and so have the two green talking parrots and the two little North American philangors, flying squirrels. And Rufty Tufty, the wallaby, went this week." So he was named in July and left the island in October. "All the other animals, except the goats, are still with us, and do you want to see them again? Come very soon. We still have two or three tortoises if any leaguers want to buy one. Do you remember the baby baboon? It still plays around with Mr. Taylor, who looks after the animals, and it now lives in the bear's cage in the animal house." Hopefully the bear had gone. It doesn't note. All the other animals are very fit and well, and they send their love to you all. So does Julia and Uncle Horace Andrews. P.S. Mr. Donald Lowy tells us the tortoises are priced at 7 shillings. If you want one, get in touch with the zoo. Uncle Tim." Make of that what you will. And finally, just a very interesting sideline in that we quite often had stories from off the island in the Manx papers. The Isle of Man Times, 1958, Saturday, January the 22nd, a fascinating story by a Sydney archdeacon. "The British race decadent. No fear so long as it produces women like the wives of the padres in the Australian bush." And this was a report about the annual meeting of the Isle of Man branch of the Colonial and Continental Church Society. Archdeacon Langley of Sydney, New South Wales, told of the services rendered by the society to British people living hundreds of miles from their next neighbours, farming and timber cutting in the Australian bush. He told stories of doctors travelling hundreds of miles to operate for appendicitis, of nurses carrying sick women to hospital on journeys of 60 miles in open trucks, of places so far that a telephone call costs 25 shillings. Of a clergyman and his wife setting out with a Bible, a prayer book, a hymn book, and a baby organ to administer the sacrament to a woman who had travelled 15 miles to meet them. Of roads so appalling that a new tyre received 18 punctures in 80 miles. "Our society does not cover any place," he said, "that is near a railway." And the wallabies come into the next paragraph. "I have travelled 120 miles," he said, "without seeing a living creature other than rabbits, kangaroos, emus and wallabies." And the archdeacon besought his audience's sympathy and admiration of doctors who had brilliant careers at the university and nurses who could have filled the highest positions in English hospitals, who had undertaken lives of intense loneliness for the sake of Christ and their fellow men. The Bush Church Society, to which he belongs, has now obtained an aeroplane for carrying sick people to hospital. Daring do, those were the days, I dare say. And as for the animals, well, we hope they all found good homes and lived out their rest of their lives in peace and relative seclusion and happiness, albeit caged. Things do move on, don't they, one way or another. And how many people remember the zoo at Glen Helen? We still have animals now. They're still in the news. The wallabies now have found their freedom, perhaps somewhat. Either way, it's all old news. Until next week. Cheerio. You're gonna be yesterday's news.